Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome back to our show here, hour number two. We're talking with Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Can you just sort of pick up where you left off?
Yeah, Mike. I just want to say, again, as far as Australia goes, as opposed to the United States, one thing at least we do have states' rights in this country. We have a constitution that is second to none in the world that, you know...
Yeah, but our government's pretty much ignoring that constitution. They're ignoring the Bill of Rights. And, you know, when the government refuses to play by the rules, that's a problem.
Well, part of them, but it's not all of them. I mean, the states count as governments themselves. So the federal government does not have all the power.
Mm-hmm.
There are states that are very bad news. And states like New York, California, even though hopefully they've California is going to get some relief with Larry Elder in a few weeks.
I'm sorry, it's looking like Newsom's going to steal the recall election. You know, I hate to be negative, but I mean, there's already so much election fraud has surfaced on that. I think it's a done deal.
Well, hopefully not, but you're probably right. But California is, you know, is a hopeless. Seems to be a hopeless situation. But again, the people shouldn't stand by it. It's not a, you know, this is a, you know, we cannot let this country, get into, you know, become Australia. I mean, what's happening there, like I said, to me is I would rather have the Taliban in charge. Now, I know a lot of your callers and listeners may not like to hear that, but yes, I'll take the Taliban as opposed to vicious, nasty, Nazi-like, Nazi-communist, like government that has taken over Australia and what they're doing to the people. They're locking them down. They're forcing their kids. As far as I know, the Taliban is not forcing Afghanistanian kids to get these horrible shots. The Taliban is not rounding kids up and putting them in a stadium to give them these shots. The Taliban is not making people stay in their homes. All right?
Mm-hmm.
They're bad, Taliban, but not like that. This is supposed to be our friend. And it, like you said, you do have places in this country if these so-called leaders had their way in California, or at least certain places like San Francisco and Los Angeles and New York, are one of them. But people are fighting back even in New York now. These businesses are suing. So what people got to do is they got to make it clear you're not going to do this stuff. You know, even Australia, yeah, they gave up their guns, but come out in the street and force. If the cops attack you, attack them back.
Yes.
You know, roll them to the ground, stomp on them if you have to, do whatever you have to do. Do not let yourself. These are not cops anymore. These are occupying soldiers. This is an occupying army. What's going on in Australia, and to a degree in Canada, and in some places in the United States, police have to understand: you either are going to be with the people, or you become an enemy of the people. You become an occupying army, and you see what happened in Afghanistan. Small group of rebels, you know, lightly armed. Within, 9 days or something, they overcame the Afghan, what's considered the Afghanistan army. They had all the weapons, way more troops, 9 days. Because you know why? If nothing else, the Taliban were committed. And the soldiers...
The Afghan forces really did not have the stomach to fire on their own people, and that's an object lesson we need to remember here in the United States of America. And, we got reports all during that march across Afghanistan that the Afghan forces simply surrendered and turned over their weapons.
And I think that would happen in the United States if we did have a rebellion. I think the army's got to be demoralized. You know they're demoralized.
Yes.
Police forces in this country, a lot of them are demoralized. I was happy to hear that the majority of New York City police have not taken their shots. Same thing, I believe, with the firefighters, all right? That is unions who are basically worthless. And when I worked in New York, I belonged to one of these law enforcement unions.
Mm-hmm.
But they're worthless. They're supposed to be protecting their employees. They shouldn't be trying to push a needle in their arms. They should be trying to protect their employees. But they're not. They're phonies. And I just don't know what to say anymore. When I see people kowtowing to this, the cowardly, you know, just think of our troops back in World War II storming them cliffs at Normandy and storming ashore at Normandy, point blank range against against one of the best armies in the world, point blank range against the machine gun fire of some of the best troops in the world, and yet they overcame. They suffered horrible casualties. The same thing against Japan, Imperial Japan, when they stormed at Iwo Jima and other islands, point-blank range, again, some of the finest soldiers in the world. All right? Now, just think what these men died for and the courage they showed in this country, in other countries, and other Western countries, by the way, who we either liberated or helped liberate or helped to keep free, like Australia, are now afraid of a little bug, of a little virus, and willing to give up their freedoms like a bunch of little cowards to a virus that's basically, it's not harmless, but it's nothing like, like the horror of, let's say, airborne Ebola or something like that. But I'll tell you the truth. I would rather have our freedom and fight something like airborne Ebola even than give up our freedom.
Now, you know, Ebola is very serious stuff depending upon which strain. I mean, the Mayinga strain is 90% lethality. The Reston strain it doesn't harm humans at all. So it's kind of a hard statement to make. I want to make one more comment here. I want to comment about our armed forces and whether they would be loyal to the government in the event of an uprising by the people. I'm sure that our military people are just as dispirited by the defeat in Afghanistan as anybody else. I remember in those post-Vietnam years how the rank-and-file military were just totally demoralized. We'd been whipped, by this, clearly inferior military force. But at least North Vietnam was being backed by Russia and China. Here in Afghanistan, the Taliban basically did it all on their own. And I'm sure the military are thinking, maybe instead of being taught critical race theory, we could have been taught how to actually go on out and win a tactical engagement. And so I have a feeling that, like the Afghan forces in Afghanistan, most American rank-and-file military are not going to be all that excited about shooting their fellow Americans.
Yeah, I that's what I was saying before. I believe it. In most of the country, the police are going to be, should be in people's side, especially in red counties, red states. Mm-hmm. We have decent sheriffs, okay? But as a matter of fact, the sheriff would probably be the first line of the militia because they have the ability to form posses. They could form posses,
yes,
as many people as they want from the county. So this would be probably the first line of a militia. And the FBI would be overwhelmed if they tried. But as far as the military goes, I think you're right. I think they would actually turn against the government if it came. It doesn't matter about the Joint Chiefs. It doesn't matter like a little punk like General Milley or another idiot like and a punk like Austin, okay? It doesn't matter. I believe they would be on people's side. They don't like the idea now that they're trying to force the military to take the jab either. I understand most of the military hasn't taken it. And I don't believe
actually, they just filed either. A lawsuit. The military filed a class action lawsuit against the Pentagon to block the mandatory vaccine.
Good, good. So we are fighting back at least in this country. It's not like Australia.
Yeah, we are starting to fight back, and it's starting to escalate. And I am seeing so many parallels between the decline and fall of the Soviet Union and current events here in this country, and I think it's going to end up pretty much the same way. I've given you a big chunk of time, and we've got callers waiting on the line, so thank you for the call. And we're going to switch over to Bruce in Texas. Bruce, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I'm going to be real quick today. I usually am anyway. Did you hear what Senator Graham said on Sean Hannity? He said the chance of another 9/11.
I've heard several things from Graham. Which one are you talking about?
The chance of another 9/11 is now tenfold because of the fall of Afghanistan. And Sean Hannity tweeted that out, and he got a bunch of pushback. It's good to see. Somebody said,
I mean, at some point, we may see the government stage another massive false flag to take our mind off the defeat in Afghanistan. I mean, they're feeling panicked and cornered. They've lost the trust and faith of the American people. So has the corporate media. They're clearly losing the war for the minds of America on all of these fronts. And, you know, their cornered animals are the most dangerous. And so I'm very concerned about that.
Yeah, I'm sure they want to preserve their corrupt system.
Well, of course they do.
The Taliban never committed 9/11, and they had no interest in bringing back another 20-year foreign occupation by attacking U.S. soil.
The government could stage a false flag and blame it on the American people who are dissenters and justify a complete crackdown, confiscation of all guns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they are desperate right now.
Remember Senator Graham was screaming on the Senate floor, on the Senate chamber about, you know, if we arrest those terrorists, you don't get a lawyer. Shut up. We're going to throw you in jail forever.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Senator Graham put under interrogation, enhanced interrogation, see what those secrets he has to spill. Man, what a dirtbag. I can't believe that guy's still... He'll be there until he croaks, I guess.
The fact that, you know, we're hearing that the people who were arrested for the January 6th protest are being denied contact with their lawyers. So, that kind of behavior has already come to the United States.
Yeah. At one point on the New York restaurateurs and stuff, I'm sure that they were never Trumpers, actually... liberals themselves, and they voted in for de Blasio, so and the whole Democratic ticket. So this is what you want, this is what you get, you know.
I'm not sure the Democrats were voted in. Again, I'm waiting to see that Maricopa report, and hoping we have not been led down the primrose path on that one. But again, judging by some of the reactions I'm seeing, various politicians repositioning themselves, the RNC finally saying, yes, there was election fraud. I think that Maricopa audit hit pay dirt, and it's going to be a bigger scandal than Afghanistan when that comes out.
Well, I hope so. If Joe Biden steps down and Kamala Harris has to appoint a vice president, I'm afraid it's going to be the Nobel Prize winner for election fraud, Stacey Abrams. That's their cherry on top.
Could very well be. I think probably, though, Nancy Pelosi's already put her resume into Kamala's desk.
We'll see. All right, thanks for taking the call.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to go to Joshua in New York. Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Joshua in New York, are you there?
Hello?
Going once.
Can you hear me now?
Ah, there you are. Okay, what's on your mind?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So, I agree with him, definitely, with the with the cops needing to realize, not just the cops, the doctors, everyone needs to realize what's going on here and understand that sooner or later, if you're, like you said, not with the people, if you're on the mandate vaccine and all this election BS, I mean, it's just... You're obviously going to have to get thrown in jail or a re-education camp or something. I mean, and that's the one thing about Alex Jones and that. But anyways, two things is Trump with the vaccines and that. There's talk about him from Maria Bartiromo, who was on her show the other day or whatever, and he started mentioning how the vaccines seem like they are just a push for money. So there's talk about him turning it around. Now, I was listening to two guys on the show from the show earlier before you, and they just made mention how... you know, even if he does something like that, you know, a lot of the trust is going to be gone with him. I kind of agree. Like, Trump can get back into office and people will still go for him. But at the same time, I think he's lost a lot of power and sway because of this whole election and then also the COVID vaccine stuff and everything. So what is your opinion on that matter?
Well, I mean, you know, I've made no secret of the fact that I view Trump as a tremendous disappointment, first and foremost, because, you know, he had to know that there was election fraud in 2016, and he had to know there was going to be even more election fraud in 2020, and he basically dropped the ball. He didn't do anything about it. He, you know, he convened that Election Integrity Commission, and then he disbanded them and said, we'll let the Department of Homeland Security deal with it. And, of course, the DHS is part of the deep state, so they basically turned a blind eye on that one.
Okay, and then I'm going to bring up this other thing. Supposedly last year, I already read up on it, and you should go read up on it just for something to do. Basically, it's a really good quick history lesson, or I think it's an accurate history of all the conspiracy theories that have been around pretty much, the correct ones, the real ones. And it's the second Declaration of Independence that supposedly was written, and Trump signed it last year on July 4th. And if you read over it, it's 10 pages long, and it's a good history from Civil War, the ending of the Civil War, up until now. And at the end of it, it states that if the elites basically go crawl in a hole and leave us alone, we won't slaughter them. And I'm wondering if, since that was signed last year, they would have obviously known about it. And here's the thing. Maybe he was letting the election go through the way to see if they were going to steal it. If they stole it, then they obviously the answer was, fuck you. You know, forget you.
Yeah, I got to watch your language on this here radio.
It wasn't stolen. Yep. And if it was, and obviously if they allowed, you know, if he won because the people, you know, if it went legit. So maybe that's, I don't know, I'm just saying maybe that was something. But it is. For it to be an elaborate, you know, it could be an elaborate scheme or whatever, but it is
well,
there.
Well, I'm a big fan of Occam's Razor. You know, the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. Anyway, Joshua, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to go to Terrell in South Carolina. Hello, Terrell. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. How's it going, buddy?
Going fine. What's on your mind?
I'm staring at this picture here. I mean, the whole optics for this Afghanistan thing is just blowing my mind. I'm looking at a picture here, and it looks like a row of American soldiers with, like, barricade, clear riot crowd control shields. And within maybe 5 feet, like a Taliban dude with an AK, you know, and a broken cane hitting the people around him. So my thing is, like, it's just crazy to see us and them just so close, just right there. Okay, I mean, this is blowing my mind. And Biden's speech, or his attempt of a speech, really just, it's every time he speaks, it hurts more and more.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
So, pretty much, we are in the hands of, you know, the next strong man. What do you think? Like,
I still think we're heading for a Soviet-style collapse, and then our priority after that is to create a new republic based on the Constitution and the first 15 amendments.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there is no hope of this whole, everyone thinking about this whole Trump coming back. That's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think if we get to 2024 and Trump runs and looks like he's going to get another landslide, I think something, you know, they're going to invoke the Kennedy option on him. I mean, we're getting into that kind of a territory geopolitically.
Last question. Where is Hunter?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's shacked up with some Russian hooker and, you know, playing with his porn thing. Anyway, listen, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with more phone calls after these few. Oh, yeah.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preaching man.
Welcome back to our show here, and we have open phone lines now, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Andrea in Oklahoma. Hello, Andrea. It's been a while. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael Rivera.
It's Rivero.
On my mind,
Rivero.
Rivero. I'm sorry, butchered that.
That's okay.
Oh, I'm getting ready to butcher some other names
here.
You
should see what the junk mail does with my name.
Well, on the marquee of Republic Broadcasting, there is the doctor. It says Trump's Chabad Lubavitch doctor indicates, or it has a dash, 90% of the vaxxed will be dead or will die. And he's in front of a board of three. I don't know if they're rabbis or what. They're asking him questions, and he's giving them. I mean, it's worth watching and listening to. It's just a video. It has a little verbiage written under it when you open it up. But he says it's going to be the worst genocide in the history of the world. The world. And we have to stop now. He's had all sorts of death threats.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, advise everybody to just take a look at it and listen to it. It's not very long. when I used to work for the Postal Service and the government, they made it very clear, who do you have responsibility over? Who has a responsibility over you? And mm-hmm. and it's only you do. You can give out orders to other people. What they do with it, are you responsible for each, and especially when you're the president and you're asking for a vaccine and you think they're going to do the right thing, and they go and turn around and it gives them the opportunity to annihilate the whole population of the world. Not the Georgia Guidestones is a really suspicious kind of thing, but on the top of the first sentences, and it's in all these different languages, that they're going to get rid of the world's population and only be left with 5 million people.
Okay, but wasn't the Georgia Guidestones a project of L. Ron Hubbard and the Scientologists?
Yeah, I don't know that answer.
Okay, that was the last information I had on that.
It's just creepy, but I just really, you know, to put all this, to put it on Trump, he had some bad advisors, and I think
yes.
we can all agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
And he believed that people would, work with him, but I guess he had a big wake-up on that, and it's, I'm sure, hard to deal with, just kind of like that last thing when they had the election and everybody turned off the TV because they thought it was over. Some people kept it on. But, and that he should have declared right then and there that he was the president, and that he didn't, it made a big difference. He seemed like he just had really bad advisors. And
biggest strategic mistake coming into office is he didn't clean out that executive building and put his own people in there. But he wanted to be magnanimous in victory, and so he kept a lot of the Obama holdovers, and it was his undoing.
I think he had the right heart, and I think he wants to make America strong and great again, and that's the way I see him. And plus, he's that's my comment, and I'll let you go. Thank you.
All right.
And
well,
aloha.
Aloha. Trump certainly said the right things we all wanted to hear: make America great again, bring back the manufacturing, close that southern border. But he did, unfortunately, make that big mistake of surrounding himself. Rather than drain the swamp, he opened the doors of the White House and let the swamp in, and he paid the price for it. And I'm sure he's learned a very hard lesson that politics does not work the same way as a business. Now, in a business, if you're the new boss, everybody starts being loyal to you. But in politics, no, it doesn't work that way at all, and Trump has learned that one the hard way. And if he runs in 2024, and if by some miracle he prevails, I'm sure that he will follow the advice of literally cleaning out all those offices in the White House and the executive office building, and bring in his own people, preferably from outside the Beltway, find people who are not tangled up with the swamp, just start from scratch, bring all kinds of people in there. And I'm still holding out for the head of NASA, and my first order would be that the ground crews have to dress up like apes every time a spacecraft returns to Earth. Anyway, we're coming up here on another commercial break, so I'm going to sneak some news in here. The USDA is out there saying that the mega drought is threatening American corn, soybean yields, and this all means we're going to have more food shortages. We're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with more phone calls.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women.
All right, then. Welcome back to our show. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Steve in West Virginia. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Mike. Just to follow up real quick before I get to my main points with the last caller. Trump picked three people. He picked, first of all, he picked McMaster the National Security Advisor, then he switched to Bolton, then he switched to Esper. That's three people that stabbed him in the back. That isn't magnanimous in victory. That's stupidity. He didn't learn from the first two. He should have learned from the first one. He didn't learn from the first two and picked a third one that stabbed him in the back. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I think that Kushner is the one that picked a lot of these people, Jared Kushner. And I think
he had a lot of influence over Trump, more than was healthy, in my opinion.
Yes, yes. And you know what, Mike? I think if Trump does happen to come back, that Kushner is coming back with him, and Ivanka or whatever you want to call her. I think they're all going to come back. And I could see him picking all the Wall Street people again and doing the same thing. I like Trump. I like him. He reminds me of my father in some ways. But I don't trust him on picking people. He's terrible. So,
well, the only other person out there, I mean, you know, is it's a case of, you know, like when you're in the middle of a pig farm, all you've got around you are pigs. And, you know, you're not going to find a horse or anything in there. I wish Ron Paul would come back and make another try for the White House. But the swamp, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, they have spent the last 7 months consolidating their power. And, you know, they're going to steal the election for Gavin Newsom out in California. That's already become very obvious. And, you know, they've got these Democratic operatives using a U.S. post office master key to empty mailboxes of the mail-in recall ballots so they can be taken away and filled out for Gavin Newsom and then sent on in the names of the voters who received them. I mean, that's it doesn't get more obvious than that. It's ballot box stuffing.
I 100% agree, and I think you're probably right on Newsom. Unfortunately, but let me get to my other two points real quick. You mentioned that 60% of these Democrats are behind. They want these mandates, these vaccine passports and stuff. I think one way to combat that is to is when we meet people like that, these Democrats who want these mandates, let's encourage them to get the third dose of the vaccine. I'm serious.
You know, they probably will. I mean, you know, the left has become a cult. And, you know, like Scientology, they're just as dangerous and fanatical. And, you know, they're believing everything that's coming out of the left agenda. They'll probably gladly get that third shot, even though the first two made them sick. They don't want to be bothered with the facts. They just want to go on believing. We believe we're superior. We believe we're right. We believe in drag queen story hour, and we believe in using whichever restroom you want to use. I mean, it's like talking to a wall.
Yeah. Mike, one other thing. You mentioned not but the other day, you talked about Sally Kirkland and that. Did you watch that video?
I'm trying to recall what that was about.
After she took the shot of Pfizer or Moderna, you talked about it the other day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did not fare very well.
Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was incredible. If you watch that video, anybody that watches that video and then goes and takes the vaccine after that, you're absolutely crazy. I mean, you could see it in all her body language. You could feel it in your intuitiveness that vaccine really messed her up. I mean, it really messed her up. Mike, I got one other quick thing. Is there any possibility that you would take a booster?
No. And right now they're saying people who got the Johnson & Johnson shot will not need the booster. The booster is only for the mRNA, Pfizer, and Moderna vaccine, so I'm not having to deal with that choice.
Okay, how does Claire feel? I'm just curious.
Same way.
My goodness,
you know, we both have vaccine regrets, but again, the nursing home where Claire's mother lives absolutely would not allow us to visit without our little vaccine cards.
Just curious, what would if they do come out with a third J&J and tell you need to take it? Or, I mean, and something happens where you can't see Claire's mother. I mean, what would you do then?
We're just going to have to cross that bridge when we come to it. It would be a second J&J shot, not a third. And you know, we do have our COVID vaccine passports proving that we've had the injection and. You know, but again, we're hearing so much about injuries and deaths, and even the CDC is having to acknowledge just how large the problem has become.
Yeah. Mike, they are saying that possibly up to 200,000 people have died of the vaccine.
Something like that. You know, the numbers could even be worse, and they're simply, you know, hiding them. You know, at this point, we can't trust anything that we get from the government or the corporate media. I mean, we have been lied to so many times, we just don't want to take the chance of being made fools of one more time.
Mike, have a good one and let somebody else talk. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And that somebody else is going to be Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura. What's on your mind today?
No, this is Mark, unless you want to go to Laura in Michigan.
All right, I'm sorry. This is Mark in Indiana. My mistake. I clicked on the wrong thing here. Okay, Mark in Indiana, fellow Hoosier, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm just visiting. But anyway, okay, so let's suppose Trump runs and he does win. There's mm-hmm. only two possibilities, and neither one of them are good for America. Either he's going to be a puppet of the Zionist, or he does his own thing, and the Democrats do not let him do what he wants to do, and the whole world goes to chaos and everything anyway. But his ego is so dangerous for the American people, he will not realize that he just needs to go away. And I believe he's a Zionist.
Well, you know, when it comes to ego, I mean, that's kind of a common factor throughout the entire government. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi as one example here. The idea here is, do we want, Kamala Harris or, and for that matter, any Democrat in the White House in 2024? And my answer to that would be a resounding no.
Well, you're right, but the thing is I think everybody else is being told, stand down, we're just going to put Trump back in for another run, puppet number two, second run at it, and everybody else stand down. That's why you don't see
anybody
else. Well,
no, there's no stand down. Trump is leading in the polls. There are no other Republicans even close to him except Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, and the thing is it's possible that he's a shill and controlled opposition as well.
Well, I've liked most of his decisions down there in Florida. Not all of them, but most of them. If he runs, I definitely would like to support him.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, the thing is they're always going to give us the choice of this evil or that evil. And unfortunately,
the lesser of two evils is still evil, and it's a stupid way to run a country.
Yeah, you're right. All right, anyway, I'll let you go. Thanks, though.
All right, thank you. And now we're going to go to Laura in Michigan. Laura, I'm sorry I misspoke before, but you're on the air now. What's on your mind?
Okay, I was going to tell you, the Germans had sent a plane into Afghanistan. You know, they left with only 7 people. It could have fit 200 more people in. How come nobody coordinated with the Germans and a fellow NATO nation to get the Americans on that plane?
I don't know,
people.
But that's a very, very good question. I mean, the idea is how many people are being allowed into the airport area. Right now, the Taliban is in control of all the entrances and exits from the airport area.
I don't think our government coordinated with Germany to put people on the plane.
No. Our government didn't coordinate with anybody. They simply pulled the plug and Afghanistan collapsed. End of story. It's utter chaos over there.
Right, right. The other thing I want to talk about, we always call it corporate press. I think we have to start calling it what it is, propaganda media.
Yes.
People know what propaganda is. And we think we need to call it propaganda media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people need you to start using proper terms. Democrats are communists.
Mm-hmm.
Media is propaganda media, that type of thing.
All right.
So I mainly want to tell you about the German plane leaving with only 7 people. That makes me sick.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in agreement. Russia is now sending some of their large planes down to Afghanistan to the Kabul airport to just try and get anybody out. And they've already said, anybody, any country, get on there, we'll get you out. And then after that, you can make your way back to your home.
Well, thank you, Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy. He really is a good guy.
Yes, he is.
I know people don't want to think that way, but he is.
Well, remember, following the collapse of the Soviet Union, Russia became our friend. And we were all good buddies. And, it was that way until Putin took control of their central bank. And then overnight, Russia became our enemy again.
Exactly. I just know he built all those churches back up again.
Yes.
That tells me something right there. It's building back like 30,000 churches that had been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So I always give them credit for that. No matter what people say. Another thing about Trump. Okay.
Yes.
Trump was so naive. For instance, like for judges,
yes.
He said he was going by the Heritage Foundation list and the Federalist Society list. Well, it's the Heritage Society. We call it the Heretic Society. These people of all Federalist Society is not what Trump thought it was. They were not giving him good names of people to be judges, okay?
Yeah.
So, see, he needed somebody to tell him, you know, look, these are not good groups anymore to give you the names. But he went along with it. See, he thought he was...
Trump's big mistake was he surrounded himself with advisors who were not working in his interest or the country's interest. They were simply there, you know, to take advantage of Trump's power to push their own agendas. And if you ever read the original book of Gulliver's Travels, not the movies, okay, Gulliver travels to several lands, and in one of them, the elites were so high and mighty that they didn't even bother speaking. They had assistants called flappers who would move their jaws for them by means of an inflatable bladder. And so it was actually these flappers who were running the country rather than the actual elites. And that's kind of what this advisor situation is in the White House. You know, the advisors
right.
are using Trump to run the country. They're certainly using Biden, Sloppy Joe, to run the country as well.
We got to stop giving him a break, too, just because he's senile and demented or whatever. We got to start saying, hey, you know, this country should not be run by somebody who can't even pass a cognitive test.
Well, they won't give him one. That's part of the problem. And like I said, Biden's either going to be convinced to resign, which I doubt because he also has a huge ego, or they're going to take him out with the 25th Amendment. They're not going to have the votes to impeach, so we are stuck with him for a while. And I'm sure Kamala Harris is, you know, pacing nervously back and forth saying, when is it my turn? When is it my turn?
Here's what I thought. He's more, they have somebody take him out and then blame it on, of course, us white people, us terrorists. Okay?
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. Stage an assassination and take him out. Kamala becomes president. And then says, okay, well, you know, one of you Trump-loving GOP, gun nuts did this, and we're going to take all the guns away. Anyway, Laura, we're getting close to the end of the show, and I got callers on the line, so thank you very much. And we're going to go to Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy. What's on your mind today?
Well, hey, thanks, Mike. I just want to – the one thing I like about Trump is that he did win the election. We know that. Okay.
Yes.
And there's no integrity, so we have no idea how this is going to come out. But let's take a review of Trump in his last year of office. Okay. He's coming off an impeachment in January. February is really a slow kind of month. March 13th, Friday the 13th, he declares an emergency for this pandemic. It just happened. He declares an emergency and gives control and power over to FEMA. Which we're still under till now. I mean, until Congress. So Congress is the only one who can get rid of this emergency. They have to vote it off. And so, okay, he did all that. Now we're going through all this, and he gave Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates the prime light. He gave them the entire spotlight the entire time. They were dictating everything. The CDC, there's a moratorium telling you cannot charge these people rent right now because we had to shut people down because we're dying. Everybody's dying. You know, we got all these.
And now all these small landlords are going into bankruptcy and all the rental units are being bought up by the big corporations.
Okay, meanwhile, let's remember who's in charge right now. It's Donald Trump. So we're still going along. We get through the summer and whatnot. We're told we can't have 4th of July. Boy, we had some big 4th of July in California. I was there during that. I mean, people said, heck with that. You know, and we kept going. And then we get the election, November 3rd. We know exactly who won this election. And then what's Donald Trump do? He doesn't do anything to fight this. I mean, we had 12 states that went after.
Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. I mean, there, you know, there's a, you know, the push for the audits. He went through the court system. The Supreme Court literally refused to hear any of the lawsuits. They didn't even want to see the evidence.
But he didn't do that. 12 states did that. And they said you have no standing. So pushed aside. Then he didn't do nothing after
that. Trump filed his own lawsuits, and they told him he didn't have standing.
Okay. So either way, we still got crooked courts. So we end up
Mike, can we skip the break? Okay, we're going to skip the break here. Andy, please keep going.
Okay, so now we're in December, and this COVID thing breaks out. And
yes.
Boom. And then we have that, what is that, Pompeo out there saying, this is a live exercise. And you hear Donald Trump in the background going, you should have told us. So is he just completely out of the loop? Was he never in the loop? Or is he just a figurehead?
He was basically isolated. He was surrounded by people who did not like him, did not want to work with him, did not like his policies or his ideology. You know, he was basically cut off. I mean, it's a common feature of all management hierarchies that all the mid-managers are trying to keep the information to themselves. They don't want the people at the top to crack down. They don't want the people on the bottom to give up hope. And so if you're sitting on top of a couple of layers of mid-managers, you're effectively deaf, dumb, and blind as to what's really going on in the world. One of the things I like about the legend of King Arthur and Merlin is that Merlin could get around that system. He could go out into the ordinary, you know, the villages and talk with the ordinary people and then come back to King Arthur and say, look, here's the real skinny.
Well, I mean, if you... Okay, so I'm just getting a little tired of people defending Donald Trump. I think I'll leave you with this. Could he have possibly been just a reprieve for 4 years because we went through so much from 2001 to 2016 with...
No,
with,
I don't think so. I think Trump ran. He genuinely won in 2016. He didn't do something about the election fraud, and he has paid the price for it. Anyway, Andy, we're going to let you go.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm going to switch. Good night. We're going to switch over to Johnny in California. Johnny, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Good show. I've thought about this for years. You just talk about armed authority. You think about this no matter what it is with COVID, the insurrection in January, all these, you know, where they come up with these, and all these agencies now seem to have all their armed authority going after people. Not mm-hmm. the elites and not the, just us people, or just us regular people, how they do that. You go as far back as, like, when Randy Weaver's home was invaded by those people.
Yes, like, I remember that clearly.
They're bringing these people. Do they have families? Do they handpick people who have no conscience, they're not vulnerable, or have no families vulnerable to people getting back at them? You wonder where they come from, and it's getting more and more, you know, what's going to happen today. They bring these people in, you know. It could be police. They just regular police sheriffs. Call them in, come and get you, you know. You're a congressman or that, you do something, no, they won't do it. You just wonder what's going to happen and what people think about this. And that's, you know, I thought about it for a long time. You know, can you get back at these people and just have them picked up with all the crimes they committed? So, anyway, that's
well, you know, after the collapse and we restart the country, you know, we might look at going after some of these people. But, you know, they're going to be off in other nations without extradition treaties, which may make the whole thing a wasted exercise. Anyway, Johnny, thank you for the call. We're going to let you go, and we're going to switch over to Mitchell in Memphis. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mark Rivera, what's going on?
Well, you tell me.
I'll try. Listen, I'm noticing a lot of somewhat of an apologist routine going on here. Let's take with Donald Trump, for instance. I want to ask a question. Why do you want a president? Everybody says, well, he was learning. He's learning. Why do we want a president that's learning on the job? I mean, would you fly in a plane if the pilot was learning to fly on your flight?
Well, let me come back at you and say, you know, how does the president train to be the president, you know, before he actually gets the job? You know, there's...
Well, let me come back at you. Why do we talking about the presidents? Because they're supposed to be illegitimate. The government's illegitimate. Why are we talking about elections? Now, your turn.
Well, I agree with you about the elections being fraudulent, and because of that, the government is being is completely illegitimate. And I'd like to find a peaceful way to restore the republic, but at this point, this many years I've been doing this, it doesn't seem within reach any longer, and that's why I'm saying we're just going to have to ride out what appears to be an imminent collapse of the entire country, probably triggered by an economic crash. But I got to tell you right now, earlier today, Claire and I went down to one of our local places of business, and we know the proprietor. He's a good friend. We've known him for the entire time we've been here in Santa Claus, and he was livid about Afghanistan. I mean, literally shaking. And you know, I'm seeing that all over, and I think it's, you know, one more thing, and we may see the population snap, and that Maricopa audit report might well be it.
Well, let me move on. Another thing that I hear people say in regards to the president is that, well, there are bad advisors. And I hear this all the time. It's not just Trump. Well, he had bad advisors. And this is a way, a lot of times, for people to apologize for the particular president that they may like. Well, Mike, on the big ticket issues, do you need advisors? Do I need advisors? I don't need advisors. This is the age of information and exchange. This is the age of exposure. I mean, do you need to be advised about the Federal Reserve? Do you need advice to know what's going on with vaccine?
On the big
or
issues,
food?
I would say no. For the record, I'm not considering running for the presidency. I mean, I had a campaign back in 2016.
But this is a very large, complex
country, and the president does have to delegate the analysis of certain aspects of the country to his advisors, and if those advisors' analysis are colored by their own prejudices and biases and ideology, then the president gets bad information, and the advisors may not even really be aware that they're doing it, human nature being what it is.
Well, I specified on the big ticket issues. Nobody who knows anything at all needs to be advised on, say, for instance, 9/11 false flag issue, wars of conquest. Mm-hmm. Anybody and everybody should know this if they know anything at all. So these presidents should already know this stuff. But in that case, if it comes down to the most important thing is the advisors, then why aren't we as a people voting for advisors?
That's a very good question, and you know, that's not a bad idea.
We should be voting on the blueprint for the new America
that we may want to have those advisory positions to the Oval Office be elected positions, elected by the people. Of course, the Democrats are still going to steal those elections, but Mitchell, I'm sorry to cut you off. Got to let you go. The music's playing. The show is over. And stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle